The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Print Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Sun Oil Limited.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you, if you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. It's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. You know, I want to mention something. We recently lost Mr. Greg Bonamy. But Greg Bonamy was one of those seasoned veteran insurance, high performing insurance agents over the years. Known by people, but some of you may not be like a household name per se. But a very straightforward guy, a gentleman of immense convictions, and someone whose political convictions, I believe, caused him some significant anxieties and challenges in the, you know, in the course of our political changes. But a great, quieter gentleman who, you know, contributed in ways that didn't give to fanfare. Highly regarded by his friends and acquaintances. Really, really a stand-up gentleman. I remember when I first started the Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Program, Greg volunteered to support the program and did so for years. And even in the later part of his year life, he battled with kidney issues, etc. And he would still reach out and say, man, what's happening with the program? I want to send a donation to the program. I listened to this show dedicatedly and would exchange texts with me during the show. In fact, one of the last conversations we had was just before he passed. You know, we were exchanging greetings. And even at that time, he was noting, you know, a long-standing issue in relation to the impact that his political views had on his own personal life. And so sometimes when we say taking a political position in this country doesn't impact you, that's not true. I don't want to go into more than that, but it does. And I know in his instance it does. But a great stand-up gentleman. I'm grateful for his friendship, for his support, and for the years we have been able to enjoy each other's company. And God bless him and his family in this difficult time, I know, for them. But for him, better circumstances. So there is the Prime Minister of the country, our Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, has responded to the Fiscal Responsibility Council. In terms about the government's handling of the fiscal affairs of the country. And so the council provides a report as is required by law. So the council is set up by law, and that in the course of their responsibilities, they are required to report on the affairs, the handling of the fiscal affairs of the country. And they did. And while they had some complimentary things to say about the government's handling, they also had some not so complimentary things to say about the government's handling. And I think some of that is what the Prime Minister was responding to, and we'll get into that soon. We want to have a sober discussion about this, because I think it's instructive, right? I think it's instructive because you, as a citizen, you hear these exchanges, and what gets raised in my mind is, can you evaluate yourself sensibly, what the council is saying, what the Prime Minister is saying, and to be able at the end of the day to make a judgment on this question? This is the question. Is my government responsibly handling the fiscal affairs of my country? That's the question. Okay? That's the reason why there is a Fiscal Responsibility Council. That is why the Minnis administration in 2018 passed the Fiscal Responsibility Act. Okay, that an act that came into effect that year. Okay, and it then appointed this council with the responsibility, that's what the act does, monitoring and assessing as an independent group for meeting fiscal targets and objectives that are set out in the act. and to report to the public by preparing semi-annual and annual reports on the government's fiscal performance. The reports are being tabled in the parliament and made available to the public. The Fiscal Responsibility Council is also responsible for evaluating fiscal strategy. So the government says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We've decided to do this, we've decided to do that. The Fiscal Responsibility Council is supposed to evaluate whether that is an effective strategy or not. And it is also supposed to provide recommendations to the government, that is to the Minister of Finance in particular, about fiscal matters. And it's supposed to help provide understanding to the public about fiscal policy. So what is the, in terms of the fiscal targets that it's a monitoring and assessing those targets, it's monitoring and assessing the debt to GDP of the government of the Bahamas. Now, the target ratio that is established by the Act is 50 by 2030-2031. So the aim is that the government of the Bahamas should get the debt to GDP ratio down to 50%. And we're going to talk about these things and what they mean by 2030-2031. The other target is fiscal balance, where the government is working toward achieving a budget or a surplus. And so largely looks at what they call the primary surplus, which is when you take the government's revenue and you subtract from that revenue, subtract from that revenue all the non-interest expenditure. And that's what you're aiming for. Okay? Also, you look at expenditure growth. So the council would be expenditure growth. That is that your expenditure growth should be at a level that doesn't exceed your medium-term growth rate, except where there might be some exceptional circumstances. And then the council should look at contingencies. These are targets too, where you create contingency funds for disasters and for managing revenue over performance and those kinds of things, right? Now, this fiscal council has 5 members, so that you know. 2 of those members are appointed on the advice of the Prime Minister after he consults the Leader of the Opposition. 2 are appointed on the advice of the Leader of the Opposition after consultation with the Prime Minister. And 1 member who serves as the chairperson is appointed based on the joint advice of both the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition. So those are the 5 people. So that's just what establishes the what establishes the independence of the council. Okay? So that's the broad picture. So the question is, how would you know if your government is acting responsibly? What would be the guidance for that? Fiscal responsibility has to do with the periodic financial performance of the government of the Bahamas. And at the end of the day, that is about its expenditure, its revenue, its expenditure, and the net consequences of how it handles both of those things. But how would you know whether the government of Bahamas is in fact handling your fiscal affairs responsibly. That's the question. And if you could, before I weigh in, you could tell me how you would know. Because then we may be able to avoid going through all of this. How would you know? You're the voter. You're the citizen. You're the person who the government would say, and I'm talking about all, when I say the government, I mean all administrations would say, oh, I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this on your behalf. What would you say? When we come back, I'll read for you from a reporting how the prime minister answers the question of its fiscal responsibility. And so you'll hear in his words how he is evaluating how responsible he is and this government is in the fiscal responsibility. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, host. We'll be back after this break.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BEMC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clocks and Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Get ready to catch the thrill and win with Shell. Fuel up with $20 or more and unlock your shot on unforgettable prizes.
We're talking regatta trips to Exuma and Harbor Island.
Free fuel, grocery vouchers, water park passes, and more. Just snap your receipt and WhatsApp it to us at 242-422-0271. The vibes are high, the prizes are hot, and the summer is yours to Shell. Only at participating Shell stations in Nassau. Now through August 22nd. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back-to-school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screenings, hair grooming, and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essential supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th at the Nassau Guardians parking lot, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year.
Here. Brought to you by The Walking Clinic, Boss, Alive, FML, Asa H. Pritchett, Nassau Agencies, Original Parties, Caribbean Bottling Limited, Purity, Ari the Artist, Little Caesars, Marco's, Wendy's.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Whatever weather, cold or warm,
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Again, if you want to call, you can call on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can call us on 242-300-5720. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, what's happening?
I'm right here, Master.
I'm sure when I speak on behalf of many behemoths who don't understand, you know, these budget reports and these fiscal reports and so forth and so forth. And it's really up to the opposition to hold the government feet to the fire or hold them accountable in terms of spending or monies or the government's revenue. You know, the government present these budgets and these reports, and it's up to the opposition to question it when there's something doesn't appear or something. But when the government always, in my opinion, seems to be evasive or seems to be hiding something or doesn't want to answer the question or always like dilly-dallying around the questions or always pushing we just can't get no direct answers from the government. That leaves me not to trust this government and what they're presenting and what they say. Because it always seems like there's an issue when it's time to answer these questions, like there's never a direct answer. When they don't, it leaves me the question that you're doing something I'm not saying that they are. But because you're so evasive, that's what it makes me to believe that you're doing something that you're supposed to be doing, because you never seem to answer the question. I don't know if that makes sense. I
understand what you're saying, but maybe let's listen up and let's see what the Prime Minister has said, and maybe let's see if you'll get answers. And then, when I am done with some explanations today, I think you will find to get some answers your own self on itself.
Okay? You know, even when we look back at the budget presentation with the Prime Minister and the deficit and the projected deficit and the projected, it's one to question exactly what are these people doing.
Yeah.
Just like I said.
Let's have the conversation, and then let's see what happens. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling. All right. So the Fiscal Responsibility Council has had a say in what it believes, and as I said, it wasn't all critical, and it wasn't not critical, and all not the things about the deficit but it also had expressed some concerns about some other matters, which is what prompted the government of the Bahamas, in a story by Rachel Scott, that the Prime Minister what was the term she used? Back. Okay. So here's what the Prime Minister had to say about the Fiscal Council's response concerning the government's fiscal projections and so forth. Right? The Prime Minister says that the government of the Bahamas, he says, our fiscal strategy is balanced, sustainable, and firmly focusing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. Okay, so he says it's balanced, sustainable, and firmly focused on securing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. Question, can you evaluate that? You, the citizen, can you evaluate that the present administration's fiscal strategy is balanced, sustainable, and firmly focused on securing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people? Right there and ask for your response. And I want you to be, please, try not to be partisan. And you are, we all are biases for a moment, right? Just put it in your lap. So all you hear is these thoughts by the prime minister. My government has got a fiscal strategy which is balanced, sustainable, and firmly focused on ensuring a more resilient future for our nation and our people. I'm asking you, can you evaluate that? Can you determine whether that is the case or not? That's the question. Help me with that, please. Text me, call me, whether you can evaluate, where you can determine that such is the case. Is this all about you? This is your government. This is they are working on your behalf. What can you evaluate? Our fiscal strategy is balanced, sustainable, and firmly focused on securing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. Can you evaluate? Tell me if you get that. The best way to have a more responsible, more effective government is to be able yourself to evaluate what you're doing in both an objective manner and an experiential matter as a collective. Right? So if you are having words uttered to you, they have to have meaning for you to be able to say, yes, I could see that. Or, no, I can't see that. And so this is the question. I just read with the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister says, whatever the Fiscal Council committee council is concerned about has a fiscal strategy that's balanced. Is it balanced? First of all, can you tell what the strategy is? When he says fiscal strategy, what do you know that to mean? What is fiscal strategy? What is secondly, he says that strategy, whatever you think it means, is balanced. What does that mean? He says it's sustainable. What does that mean? And then he says it's firmly focused on securing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. What does that mean? We don't have to go nowhere. I could take my time with this. I'm rushing through it. It don't matter. If I run it into tomorrow, another day, no problem. This is important, very important for you. What does this mean? Can you evaluate that? His text says, good day, Lang. May his soul rest in peace, and also Morgan Freeman's. Okay. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You think the Speaker of Parliament should have Mr. Cartwright for, man, this we're talking about something else today. Well, we're talking about entirely something else today. Says, I hear this, but is there an actual fiscal forecasted plan that I can review to agree with this his statement? Well, this is my point to you. So the question is, so you're saying you don't have something that can help you evaluate this. Anyone else? Anyone else? Wow. No one. Is your silence saying, sure, of course, or I am not even listening, or no, I can't. Can you evaluate this? This is the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This is the Minister of Finance of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he has said that for the last 4 years or so that he has been and his administration has been working, He says they have had a fiscal strategy. Do you know what that is? That is balanced. Do you know what it means for the fiscal strategy to be balanced? That is sustainable. Do you know what it means for it to be sustainable? That firmly focused on a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. Can you evaluate that? Do you know that to be so? That's the question. This text says, anybody listening to you, your answer have to be no, because we don't have the numbers, which I am sure the prime ministers have. What makes sense to me is this government rating by International Rating Agency and IMF Bank, which is to me was good so far. Okay, so I hear you, but you are entirely wrong. Okay, the question isn't about numbers, because you don't get to look at numbers unless you understand concepts. Why would I go and look at a number if I don't know what a fiscal strategy is? Why would I go and look at a number if I don't know what balanced, but that's what it means for that strategy to be balanced? How would I tell? What would sustainability mean? I mean, what to know if it's sustainable? What number? So if you tell me that, then I'll understand that you could use some numbers, because we'll get at numbers. We are going to get at numbers. And firmly focus on securing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. Do you understand what that means? So we have to understand the concept behind the words so that we can get the numbers to tell us something, because you can't just look at a number. Oh, I see 50, 60, 80, debt to GDP ratio. What does that mean? As a matter of us fitting into this statement, what does that mean? So I disagree with you entirely. You don't have to have numbers first. And when you quoted the IMF agency and so forth and so forth, so that's the sum total of your evaluation of your country. But can I tell you that the Bahamas' status in terms of credit rating was junk bond 10 years or so. It remains junk bond status. It hasn't gone up one bit. It hasn't gone down one bit. What has improved is the outlook. That's it. Meaning your economic trajectory. And in light of the pandemic having passed now, why would it not have improved? Right? You're not even in that scenario anymore. So no, you're still at junk bond status. All of your ratings in terms of the letters remain the same as they were, if you want to look at objective evidence. Okay, we're going to take a break, another break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can see you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands, in all seasons.
You try to rest, roll with the best. Enemies, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Print My Foster's
Bridge. Into the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Smart talk all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
You know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell some.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't have to get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a text here, says Mr. Lang, the PM answer cannot be evaluated nor measured effectively without disclosing the numbers publicly. He's using psychology on us. He knows that some of the people are unable to understand how government operates. So he uses words that confuses the masses. And we are not able to tell whether he's being true or not. He's playing a game on us and have us for fools. Actually, he is not. He's absolutely not. The words that the prime minister used are, in fact, appropriate words to be used. The question is whether you understand them. So when he says that our fiscal strategy, he's not lying. He's not trying to fool anyone. He's not using fancy words. He's using the exact words that you should use. When he says it's balanced, that's not a fancy word. It's not a word to confuse you. That is an exact word that should be used. When he said it's sustainable, then that is not a fancy word. It is not a confusing word. It is one of these. And when he says it's firmly focused on a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people, those are also words that are not confusing and that are not intended to confuse and not a lie, etc. The question isn't whether he is trying to fool you or not. The question is, do you understand what he is conveying? That's not on him alone. That's on you as to whether you understand it. And that's why I was asking. Okay, and the question is whether that is, and then the way you can tell if you understand the concepts, then look for the evidence in the numbers, okay? Which we will do. You can look for the evidence in the numbers. So it is not true that the PM is being untruthful or using confusing words because he knows people don't understand it, because these are actually the words you use when you are speaking about your fiscal performance. What is true is that the prime minister, in the course of this reporting, didn't deliver any as many one might expect to provide as clear a picture as you could get. He did say, though, right? So, for instance, in this report, he didn't provide any data points to support what he said. Now, I don't know if you missed it, but as an example, the government says that it charted a clear path to reduce the debt to GDP ratio to 50% 2031. Okay, and so the question is, it so? It created a clear path. Well, if you look at the debt to GDP ratio and where it has gone and moved, what has happened? Okay, so what has happened under the tenure of the Davis administration? So to understand that, though, let's look at our history. So in 1990, our debt to GDP ratio was 13.22%, okay? By 2000, it was 19.18%. It was up just about 5 percentage points. By 2010, it had gone to 33.88%. Now, this was following the Great Recession, where it did take a big hit, right? But 2010, it was 33.88%. By 2020, right, this was just with the onset of COVID-19, it was 74.67%. Now, remember that the fiscal strategy as outlined, and by strategy, we are talking about all of you now. When we talk about strategy, we are talking about a set of decisions intended to achieve a determined result. So when you're being strategic about your own financial circumstances, you make a set of decisions and results. So you might decide, I want to save $10,000 by the end of the year, $2,000 by the end of the year, $500 by the end of the year. And you now have to make a set of decisions. So we're only going to spend this amount on groceries now. We used to spend $300. Now we're going to spend $250 or $200. That's a strategic decision. Why is it strategic? Because it's tied to this particular result you are trying to get. So that's what strategy is. Strategy is a set of decisions you make intended to win a war. It is a war term. Okay? So the fiscal strategy of the country calls for achieving a debt to GDP ratio of 50% or less. Debt to GDP means when I look at the government's debt, when I look at what the government borrowed, the total amount, and I divide that amount by the gross domestic product of the country, our national income. So when I divide, so that's like taking your whole income and dividing what you owe by that, that gives you your debt to GDP ratio. Well, the government's debt to GDP ratio is how much the government owes in total, as borrowed, compared to the debt to GDP, how much the country as a whole makes. And so when you make that division, if the number comes to 50% or less, you have achieved your debt to GDP ratio. So in other words, if your debt is half of the amount of income you make as a nation, then the idea is you're in good fiscal state insofar as that is concerned. So when were we last below 50%? The last time we were below 50% was in 2014. In 2015, we hit 50.67%. In 2015. All the years before 2000, the Bahamas was below 50%. Okay, so let's look at what has happened then. So in 2020, we had 74.67%. Okay, so we're not below the 50%. In fact, we've increased from 2010. In 2020, we explode to 99.68%. This is the effect of the pandemic. This would have been experienced by most countries in the world. So we had 99.68%. Generally, when you get to 100%, people depending on your economic circumstances, you're in a danger zone. We're in 2021, we're at 99.68%. In 2022, you go down to 88.64%. Now, you already started going down. In much of 2022, the Menace administration is in office. In fact, the current budget, the budget in that entire year, is the budget produced by the Menace administration. I hear you, producer. Yes, I was in the middle of the explanation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue looking at these numbers. We'll be back after the news break.
Starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
I'm standing up, I'ma face my demon. I'm manning up, I'ma hold my ground. I've had enough, now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We're talking about our fiscal responsibility performance and comments made by Prime Minister and the Fiscal Council. At the debt to GDP ratio, which is one measure of fiscal performance. So so that if you begin to evaluate your country's fiscal performance, the government's fiscal performance, you can check it against the direction it heads in with respect to the debt to GDP ratio, the target being 50%. So obviously, if you're moving away from the target, then you can't say your strategy is working, because the strategy can, evaluating whether a strategy is working depends on whether you are in fact moving toward your end. So if you're trying to win a war and you're making no progress in terms of advancing on enemy's territory, or the enemy's results in terms of it, your own army, military, and so forth, you can't say you're winning the war, right? If a doctor has a strategy of seeking to get you better, if the symptoms are worsening, you can't say that the strategy is working. He or she has to reevaluate what's going on. So remember, 50% is the target. The last time we were at that target was when? In 2015. Okay? We hit 2019, where we had Dorian was in 2018 or 19, one of them, but it had an impact. It was at 60.73% in 2019. So what happened in 2022 is you went down. And again, as I was indicating, the Menes administration was the government in office for the bulk of 2022. It lost office on September 21. The budget that was being operated was passed in July of 2021 and remained in place until June of 2022. Okay? Remained in place until 2022. And so the debt to GDP ratio went down. Sorry. In 2021, the Menes administration was in office till September 21st. Okay? And this was in when the between March of 2020 and the end of 2021, in the middle of the pandemic had fermented. We had closed down the economy and all this kind of stuff. So the impact on the shrinkage of the economy would have been significant and drove you up to that 99.68%. But the budget that was being operated from July 2021 to June 2022 would have been the Menes administration's budget. In that period of time, your debt to GDP ratio went down to 88.64%. It would be a stretch. It would be a great stretch for any new administration to claim to have been responsible for that. That was more than anything else the function of an expanding economy, because you had now turned up the economy and now people were back to spending more, the tourists were coming in more, etc. And so the debt to GDP ratio went down largely because your denominator, which was the GDP, started to go up. What happened in 2023? It went down further to 81.6%. What happened in terms of moving in the direction of 50, the Davis administration now can say we are moving our debt to GDP ratio in the right direction. We're going in the direction of 81.6%. So it's going toward 50%, 8%. Again, the Davis administration can say we are moving in the direction of 50% so that our debt to GDP ratio is headed toward target. And then in 2025, though, what happens? You're 78.83% in 74, but in 75, you're 79.3%. Right? Like, so far, like that would be. Again, it's marginally different than the year before. So in terms of achieving 50%,
how likely are you to be there by 30-30? Closer to 50%, but you won't be at 50%, which is the time. So there is no circumstances, well, let's put it like this. There's no circumstances on the present trajectory that your strategy will get you to 50% of GDP. We will not achieve that. So either you adjust the strategy in terms of the target, or you concede the Davis administration may or may not be in office. Of course, it is not going to be possible for the Davis administration to say that it has met the, it has put us on course to meet that target. It can't. There's no way to make this present course meet that target. So in that regard, the fiscal strategy as it now stands is not a success. As it now stands, it is not succeeding. And why is it not succeeding? Not because you're not reducing the debt to GDP ratio. It is reducing, but it is not reducing to the degree required to meet the target that was set in law. And you have not adjusted the target, so therefore, you will not succeed on the present strategy. Okay, so that's one thing that can be said in relation to that. All right, so when we look at fiscal strategies, we're looking at sustainability. So why is the 50% target important? Because it's about sustainability. We know that 50% or below debt to GDP ratio is more sustainable. Why is it more sustainable? It puts less pressure on you to be taxing the public, and taxing the public means taking resources out of the hands of the private sector, resources that the private sector could use for the kinds of activities that actually grow your economy and increase opportunities and prosperity. It also means less burden on the public purse to fund borrowings, and therefore allows more money to be available for the government to do the kinds of programs and deliver the kinds of services and products that the public really needs. It's sustainable because if something happens that is a national disaster, because you have fiscal space, we call it, it gives you an opportunity to do some borrowings to meet the emergency or the contingencies of the moment, because you have that space to borrow. And that's why the target of 50% is a good target for sustainability. You also look at, in terms of fiscal responsibility, how is the government balancing the burdens it's putting on the present and future? See, you and I, the government could borrow a load of money right now, boogie load of money right now, and do all kinds of things we say we want done in the Bahamas, make all the roads fancy, make all the hospitals fancy, make all kinds of public services fancy, and we'd be living wonderfully, and they'd say, oh, thank the Lord God Almighty. But we know that that money is going to have to be paid back. And it's going to be paid back over a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades. Well, the truth is, a great deal of that, then, the burden falls on the future generation. Seeing the burdens of the present and future generation. Me and my children may be sad, or I could be happy, sad, and my children could be happy, or I could be sad, and my children could be sad, or I could be happy and my children could be happy. Obviously, the best scenario is I'm happy by what the government is doing, and my children get to be happy and their children get to be happy, because what we have done is balance the burden between the generations. That's another way to evaluate. You also look at the extent to which the government's efforts improve or facilitates the stability of your economy, okay? So in good times, when the economy is really flourishing, the government should make gains in terms of its fiscal performance, in terms of deficit spending. So in good times, the government should ease up and not spend wildly or spend too much, because it then creates, it's using that opportunity to create more and more space, head toward that debt, because the economy is flourishing. And so most of the resources people need, they can get by way of the economy. They're working, their companies are flourishing, and these kinds of things. So you don't expect that, you expect the government's financial intervention into the economy to be less in good times. But in bad times, when the economy isn't performing so well, then maybe, yes, you have the government stepping in and providing some injection into the economy to float it during that period. It's called counter-cyclical financing or counter-cyclical policy, right? And so the question is the government acting in an economically stabilizing manner in terms of its fiscal handling? You also, when you're looking at the government's performance, you're looking at how efficient is the government doing? How much waste do we have in taking place by government? Is it spending my money in a way that I get value for money? If I spend $30 million on a road, should I have spent $30 million on a road, or could that have been done for $20 million or so? If we're going to build a hospital and it's going to cost us $300 million, ought it to have cost us that much amount of money? So you're looking for value, and should we have done this in the first place? You're looking at value for money. You're looking at the results that the spending gets for the people of the country. Is the spending improving the lives of the folk? So that's effectiveness. So efficiency is value for money. Effectiveness is results for money, right? The impact that the results has on the people of the country. And then finally, see, you don't get to talk about fiscal performance and all you're doing or not doing and this, that, and the next thing, if there isn't a character of transparency and accountability in your efforts. You don't get to do that. I told you guys before, that's like parents stealing money from work, stealing the money and buying their children all the food in the world, improving the house, doing all kinds of wonderful things that their children are happy as a lark, but they're stealing the money. And the children don't know. They're saying under the kids, all the kids saying is, wow, things are really good now. In government, two things has to happen for you to be a good governor. You have to get results, but you have to maintain trust with the people by acting with integrity and being accountable and transparent. If those things are not a part of the characteristics of your fiscal performance, you are not being fiscally responsible. I'm sorry. That's just how it goes, right? Fiscal responsibility requires accountability and transparency as well. So you want to evaluate how your government is handling your fiscal affairs. Ask yourself, is what we're doing sustainable? Can we keep doing this for the next 20, 30 years and not run into crisis? Okay? Can we keep doing this and not run into crisis? Are we balancing the burden between ourselves and the next generation? Are we stabilizing this economy so that it performs well for the benefit of the citizens? Are we being efficient, and are we being effective in the way we carry out our responsibilities? And then are we being transparent and accountable? With those things, now you can get at quantitative metrics for those things. You can get at the kinds of things, numbers that can speak to those things, like the debt to GDP ratio, like the cost of your debt as a percentage of your revenue, as an example, right? How much debt servicing are you doing? Right now we're up to about $600 million a year, I think. You can then look at
deficits, your deficits versus surpluses, right? And where your balance is going in that regard. You can look at those things. And as I said, you can look at the primary balance as one of those things that the government talks about from time to time. You can look at the actual structure of your revenue and your spending, right? And whether you are improving your revenue streams in government while at the same time balancing that against the burden of debt of taxation on the public, right? You can look at what is comprising your spending. What is it that I'm spending on? Am I spending on things that's improving our prospects going forward? Or am I spending it on things which, when it's gone today, that's gone, and I'm not going to see that no more, and it's not going to have that much value added to us as a people. You can look at, okay, really and truth now, most of your budget is mandatory spending because you're already locked in, the salaries and all that kind of stuff. That's locked in stuff. But in terms of discretion, when you had the opportunity to spend $200 million, $300 million, what kind of discretion did you exercise? What were your prioritizations? What was your priorities? And how do those priorities fit with what I believe were the true priorities of our country? And so this is a framework for you to evaluate the question. And now you can go back at the comments that the Prime Minister makes and ask yourself, does that answer it for me? Or you can go to the numbers and the qualitative stuff. So you have quantity and you have qualitative stuff. Your observations could be qualitative in terms of what you've seen in the way of transparency, accountability, and ask yourself the responsibility that we require. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your Masterpiece products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Zucchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary Inn, where taste and talent take center stage.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic Eckert Battery. This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill, and Fire Trail, it's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
I'm listening. Good afternoon. How you doing, Lang?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Right here, I'm just tuning into your conversation on finance.
You're just tuning into it, which means you missed a lot of the conversation?
I only want
to make sure you didn't catch it in the middle.
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm saying, you know, I'm tuning in to what you're discussing. You all, well, I've been trying to get you to have this conversation for a while now, right? However, you're having it on the government side of the equation, right? Or on the current government side of the equation. But I've been trying to get you to have this exact conversation on the former government side of the equation through the pandemic spending. Right? So let me start by asking you this, Shivago. In your experience, and you're an economics expert, right? Well studied in theory and on the practical side through your service in the cabinet, right, Shivago?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Right. And so tell me, during times of challenge, financial challenge, times of unexpected natural emergencies and or disasters in the country, does that give way to excusing a government for exacerbated spending?
It's not a question of excusing. It is a question of what is the appropriate fiscal policy at the time. And most economists, in those circumstances, what we do is called counter-cyclical financing.
I understand. And so let me ask you, what
you're doing is you recognize that the private sector has turned down its spending, which means that people are losing jobs, and economic activity now is not as buoyant. And if you are not careful, that could run the risk of crashing the economy itself.
Absolutely.
And so what the government does is it increases its spending almost necessarily because you have to support people who've lost their jobs. You try to create some projects that can put some people to work, put some floats of money in the economy to buoy it. And so you're trying to keep it up until things turn around for the private sector to step back in.
So tell me this, based on where we are right now, which is where I would, I fully appreciate your explanation, by the way, and where I was looking for you to go in your explanation. So based on what you just explained, from fiscal policy perspective and money management perspective, can you make a circumstance worse? Or can you, through good policy, at least hold the line in those circumstances?
Well, of course, you could make it worse. So you said that you wanted me to do that, not on this government side, but on the former administration. I went through our debt to GDP ratio over three administrations. Three.
When? Are you talking about today?
Yeah, today. That's why I asked you if you listened to the old show.
I was in and out.
Yeah, but that's my point. My point was, that's why I asked you. Listen to me, Antoine. Just a minute. Listen to me. I went over our debt to GDP ratio from 1990.
I heard you.
Okay, well, then you would know. So this is the thing, right? This is where I'm trying to get the people who are listening, is we don't have to be unfair to any administration.
Absolutely.
And we don't have to, we don't, no, just let's just hear me out. Let me finish it. We can be fair by looking at the numbers. So Prime Minister, for instance, would have appealed to the debt to GDP ratio. What is the target? The target or less. We haven't been there since 2015, right? And we have been rising since 2015, peaking in 2021 with some notable circumstances then. And then we have been going down since 2021, right? But not near the 50% mark, and on the present trajectory, will not hit that mark by 2030, 2031. We will not.
Right. Okay. Unless the government makes some adjustments in its strategy.
It's impossible. It's impossible. This administration will be done in terms of its first term if it gets another term next year. It will not do 2000. It can do nothing to set you at a course for 50% by 2030. So if it comes back to office, right, or if a new administration, they will have to do something different than is being done now to put us on that trajectory.
Okay. So.
Okay. So the present strategy.
So right.
Cannot achieve a 50% GDP ratio or less.
The administration can do something different, right?
They would have to get us there.
Right. However, you don't think that the current administration can make adjustments?
They have a year. Not possible. There is no way to make that happen. No way.
Okay. All right. Okay. Not possible.
This isn't even a criticism. This is just a sheer reality of the circumstances in which they find themselves. Cannot do it.
Let me get back to your discussion, your earlier discussion, right? Which is what led me to call it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so tell me, Shivago, debt to GDP in our country and deficit spending in our country. Do you agree that they were outpaced, far outpaced, not only during the period of the pandemic, but from the outset of the previous administration until they left office?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not under Ingram, not under Christie. Not under Minnis. Absolutely not. When we had significant jumps in our debt to GDP ratio, they have always been defined by crises. Always. Significant crises. Let me give you an example. I give you the numbers. So now this isn't Shivago's opinion. We were at 13.22% in 1990.
Are you there?
We stayed at. You hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, till 2008. Oh, when did we start the jump? The Great Recession hit us. We then leaped to 35%. Sorry?
You were cutting out. You said 13.2%.
Yeah, but that might not be me. You know, that might be you on your side. The producer isn't telling me I'm cutting out.
Okay, I have my radio running while I'm listening to you on the phone. So go ahead.
No, I understand that, Antoine, but sometimes you can't still be, that still can still be happening. So I don't know. On this side, I don't.
I'm saying to you that
up until 2012, the Bahamas, less than 40% debt to GDP ratio. And that. Right. 2012 number only jumped significantly after the Great Recession.
Right.
Okay? And then after that, we started climbing gradually up to 60% in 2019. 60.73%. And then we had that huge leap in 2021, and then we started to go down.
Okay, so
and our present course.
So Chicago, hello?
30, we'll be at 70. Mm-hmm, I'm listening.
Right.
I'm listening.
So you, so going back to where you are at, up to 2017, where were we?
2017 at 55.03%.
2017.
Yeah,
2017. And
2012, you said we were at 40%? 2012, we were at 37.5%. Essentially 38%.
Okay, essentially 38%.
And yeah.
by 2017,
we were at 55.03%. Still respectable. Not at your target 50%, but still respectable.
Okay. And from the 2017 period, we saw a big jump. 2019, you're saying?
You were on a gradual upward. You had an enormous leap in 2021. Of course, we know what was happening in 2020.
No. Before you went to 21, you spoke to 2019, where we saw 60% plus.
Yeah, 60% plus. You were up 55%. You were up 60%. Then you went to 62% the following year. But remember now, you then hit Dorian hits, right? Your economy takes a hit. So what you can do is when you look at these numbers, you look at your economic performance, and you will see that when you have a contraction in your economy, you are decreasing the denominator that creates this debt to GDP ratio. And so unless something is happening on the top there that's lessening your debt, you are going to have a higher debt to GDP ratio.
Naturally.
So all of that is any analyst can explain this. Any analyst can explain this.
And it can also be worsened by how you manage through that crisis.
But the general management through the crisis, as we could see from all of our crises, is that the government of the Bahamas steps in with higher spending, more borrowing, and so forth. And that's why your debt-to-GDP ratio being low has meant something, because it creates the fiscal space that allows you to do that when you have a crisis. That's what it's for.
So, let me ask you my final question, Chivago, and then I'd like to close with a statement, please. Can you tell us, in your experience, what plan, based upon the previous administration, the meeting office, 2021, passing the budget July of 21 and being in office until September 16th of 21. Can you tell us what financial efficiency plan was left in place that would mitigate positively, besides the economy opening up naturally? What additional factors did the previous administration leave in place to get off our economy?
Well, don't forget all of the fiscal targets, all of the fiscal responsibility targets and the fiscal responsibility infrastructure that was put in place was put in place by the Minnis administration.
Right,
so they binding them. So that's important. Them binding themselves to that would have been the thing that compelled them in the direction of reducing the debt to GDP ratio if they were going to comply with the law.
Let me ask him right there, Chivago, and you almost hit it.
Now, Anton, let me tell you what I don't want to do. And please forgive me, but I don't want to do this. I'm not having a conversation about what Davis did versus what Minnis did. I'm having a conversation to help people understand how they can evaluate for themselves both administrations.
I appreciate that.
No, this is very important, because I see what I know that the analysis you are trying to do is a comparative one. And it's not irrelevant. It's not an irrelevant one. It's just not one I am interested in today, because that takes us down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
It's not, to be honest with you, when it's done, all somebody's going to say is, Lang defending the FNM or the PLP, Anton defending the FNM. I'm not interested in that dialogue today, because I could do it for both administrations. This is a toolkit my education affords me.
Yes. I understand. So let me end with this statement then, Chivago, right?
Uh-huh.
Rather than chasing down that that rabbit hole of what policies were left in place that would have exacerbated and worse on a positive mind. Let me end it by saying this. I believe I have faith in the Minister of Finance as well as his Minister of Economic Affairs, the Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, his Minister of Economic Affairs, Alkitas, and the experience of the Financial Secretary, Mr. Simon Wilson. And I do believe the targets that they have.
Antoine, now you are Antoine. What you are doing is campaigning now. If I'm having an academic analysis of right. the numbers, it isn't possible. Not possible. So it's the Fiscal Responsibility Committee also said so. And those people were appointed by the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition and the combination of both.
I understand.
So this is about what you feel or what you believe. This is about what the numbers tell us right now. And this is it. Anyone who can analyze these things would have to say, no, man, please, it ain't possible. I don't care if the F&M in office right now. Doesn't matter. In fact, the minister administration's policies, which are not enormously different than the current policies, my friend, there's no way to show me they are enormously different. They would not have achieved a debt to GDP ratio of 50.
Shivago, you said that there is pretty much no difference between the minister administration.
No. See, Antoine, I am a very, very, very precise user of words. I said you can't show me any significant difference in those fiscal policies.
You don't account
not significantly
for the
different
revenue collection as significantly different, Shivago?
Not what?
You don't account for the increase, the significant increase in revenue collection.
No, first of all, Antoine, revenue difference is not policy. That's a change in the number. Tell me what policy drove it.
Right.
What policy difference drove it?
Thank you. The Davis administration re-implemented a policy that the Christie administration had implemented, which is the in the Inland Revenue Department to go after real property tax, to go after...
Antoine, with the greatest respect to you, my friend, I was the minister responsible for finance in 2007 to 2012, and we had an aggressive regime in place. Mm-hmm. So that started from then. That's not a new policy. It's not new.
But there was a unit that was implemented under Christie.
Thank you, my friend. See, this is exactly what I was talking about. You want to go down a us against them rabbit hole. That's campaigning. I'm not interested in that today. I want to help people understand how to evaluate for themselves the fiscal performance under any administration. That's my interest today, really. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this final break.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer cares from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
Back to school just got easier at Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store on Mackey Street. We've got school shirts with official embroidered logos for R.M. Bailey, S.C. McPherson, A.F. Adderley, Kingsway, Queen's College, L.W. Young, and many more. From shirts and blouses to jumpers, skirts, shorts, and pants, we've got uniforms for almost every school distress and shop at Carey's today. Call us at 393-0758 or 817-0758. That's Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store. But back to school shopping is a breeze.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. Again, for your benefit, say here, we say Antoine is saying we. Text is thank you, Mr. Lang, for not letting Antoine make it a political topic. You're taking the time to educate, and he on the Gambian trail. This says, Shivago, I hear the words, but is there actual fiscal forecasted plan? Oh, no, we read that before. So, Mr. Lang, that was a good discussion. You not only deflated one, but all three of Anton's points with an overall analysis. He wanted you to solely criticize Minister's performance during the pandemic. He wanted you to admit a decrease in debt-to-GDP ratio during the PLP's tenure and the inability for the PLP to turn things around. Thank you for keeping things balanced and not being lured into a political discussion, but a fiscal discussion. This text says, Shivago, please don't let Anton take you off course. We need the information you were discussing. I want to educate. This text says, I want to educate, like you said, because people do that to me too. Yeah, okay. As I indicated, it's possible to look now. So you now, I hope you now can go back to Pinling's era. You can go back to Ingram's era. You can go back to Christie's era. And you can go back to Minnis's era. You can look at Davis's era. And you can now say, okay, I want to know, are we meeting our target in terms of debt to GDP ratio so that there's a sustainability issue? Can we, if we did this, if we kept doing what we're doing now, would we end up in crisis? Okay, you can ask that question. You can ask the question about whether we are balancing the burden between present and future generations. So see, these are the things, people who want to have political back and forth on their preference, don't ask.
Are we balancing the burden between future and present generations? Are we providing economic stability for the economy through the fiscal operations? Are we being transparent and accountable in terms of what we are doing in our fiscal affairs? And, you know, are we being efficient at what we do? Are we being effective at what we do? And then you can evaluate anybody, and all, because now you go and look at as much, and the data exists for many areas, and you can look at it for yourself. You don't have, and you can see where things were trending, where things were not trending, and so forth. Where the people are being transparent. Can you get your questions answered? Can you get your questions answered, or you can't? The Minnis administration, as an example, was heavily criticized, and rightly so, for not publishing the contracts that had been issued during the course of the pandemic, as required under the fiscal legislation we have in the country. Right? Well, if that's so for them, but it'll got to be so for the present administration too. Right? So accountability and transparency, all that matters. Right? And so you now have the tools, you now have the framework to be able to assess these matters for yourself. And so when you listen to the Prime Minister's words, you can go back and listen to them, and you can say, the Prime Minister says, we scored very well in terms to 50% by fiscal year 2031. You can go and evaluate that statement now. You can do it yourself. If those of us who can, we can do projections using the numbers, using Excel spreadsheet, right, and also evaluating qualitatively the conduct and behavior of the economy and so forth. And you cannot find any model that would put us at 50% to debt to GDP ratio by 2030 under the present circumstances. No model would do that, right? But is the debt to GDP ratio decreasing? Absolutely, it is decreasing, but not enough, not quick enough, not fast enough to, on the present call, to 50%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad to take God's spare with you again tomorrow. Have a great evening.